Hey, everybody. This is Flares on Films. This week, we're talking about the movie The Avengers.
Hit the music. Ba-da-ba.
Hey, everybody. This is Flaherty's on Films. My name is Michael Flaherty.
My name is Colleen Flaherty. This little podcast we do, Flaherty's on Films, is a podcast where we talk about really important movies. Michael, we're talking about The Avengers this week, but what is it about?
Here's a description. Earth's mightiest heroes must... mighty and Earth are both questionable. Earth's mightiest heroes come together to learn to fight as a team if they are going to stop the mischievous Loki and his alien army from enslaving humanity.
Despite that description being literally what the movie is about, it feels like a bad description.
That's the best I could do.
I mean, sure, but we're not the professionals at IMDb, you know? Like, that's why true. We don't get those.
They're paid so much money, you think they would come up with something better.
Right?
What's the one thing you're really missing?
In this?
Yeah.
I just feel like, well, first of all, you're right. It is a misnomer. It is not Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Earth's or Mightiest. Both
right.
Wrong.
But I do like that I think that it got at the central core of the movie, which is like the point of the movie is that friendship is awesome, right?
That is the point of the film.
So I like that. Have you seen this movie before?
I have. I think I saw it on release because it was a very big deal, even though I've never been a comic book fan. I know everyone was very, very excited about it. So I've seen it, and I think I've seen it now in total 3 or 4 times. Have
me
you
too.
Seen this film?
You know what made me sad watching this movie?
What's
I think
that?
The Avengers films are very fun to watch in movie theaters.
Yes.
That's a fun experience. And I feel like also it's just such a fun experience that you don't really question a lot of stuff. Like, oh, those boxes, those light boxes we've been searching for a while. Now they're Infinity Stones. Cool.
That's fine. I don't care. Okay. Well, I'll say 2 quick things. Number one,
do it.
I do not love this movie. You had mentioned to me a couple days ago that you saw Into the Spider-Verse. That is a movie that I love. 10 out of 10, perfect gem of a movie. I don't feel that way about this movie.
That's really good.
So when I came back to this movie, I'm like, all right, I don't love this movie. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to realize why it's actually not good. But it's pretty good. And it actually is weird how it should have aged worse, I think. There's a lot about it that was cool at the time, and it's still cool.
I mean, I had the opposite thing because I have seen the Justice League and most of the new Justice League. And it is, despite what the online bros say, both of those movies suck donkey balls.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing.
It's so unfair because that first Justice League, it's just a piece of trash. Like this.
They gave them $70 million to do it again. With most of it already done. I mean, come on. And then it was just longer. And like, oh, okay. I guess now the Wisconsin Badgers are here. That's fun.
That does sound fun.
And oh, everything's darker now, which is better, I guess. I don't give a shit. It was still like really bad. And it was just, I mean, a lot of the thing about the DC versus Avengers is like DC movies are just no fun. Even when they try to be, it's like they're trying too hard. But it's like... I watched The Avengers and I'm like, this is delightful. And why can't everybody do this? Why does Disney just have a monopoly on these kind of movies that I enjoy? Feels like other people should be able to do it.
Yeah. They sort of laugh at themselves. You know, they have a sense of humor about everything. Zack Snyder does not have a sense
of
humor.
So like, here's an example is in the Zack Snyder movie, in both the Zack Snyder and the Joss Whedon cut, there's this joke where the zippy guy, he goes to Batman, he's like, what's your superpower? And he goes, I'm rich. And I'm like, that's a bad joke. And that's not endearing at all. And like, Tony Stark is a dick whose also only superpower is being rich. He still kind of makes me laugh. I still find him charming.
Oh, okay. But that like exact line is in this movie. Did that exact line make you laugh?
I mean, it didn't make me laugh out loud, but it didn't make me cringe inside.
Yeah. But again, that movie's just so on another level terrible. You don't know if Ben Affleck was really awake when he read that line. At least from Robert Downey, he's like, okay, so they're going for like a joke, I guess.
And that feels mean to Ben Affleck, because that's not his fault.
Well, I mean, drink some coffee or something. Why was he whispering every line in that movie? Everyone talks at like room normal volume, and he's always like, we gotta get the cube.
I mean, because also when Robert Downey does it, he's like, you kind of get the joke that he is a dick. Like, he's being... I actually love that scene. I want to talk about that later. So
He's got a lot of life. He's got a lot of personality, but not as much as our first segment, which we call BAM.
Time for Sam, the part of the show where Sam comes on with her mightiest power, her brain. Sam, take it away.
Notice that you didn't say your favorite segment anymore since John took that, apparently.
Wow. You know, it's been a couple weeks since we recorded, but you still
not holding a grudge or anything. In 2003, Marvel Enterprises went to Merrill Lynch with an idea. They wanted to bring what?
We're not as funny. Sorry, go on.
Okay.
So I just imagine a bunch of comic book nerds like coming into a big bank, like, have I got an idea for you? I'm gonna make you a millionaire. And they're like, get out of here.
They go, his shield is made of vibranium. Boom! The banker's like, I have no idea what this is.
I am gonna build you something based on Iron Man. What is that? It's going to be Robert Downey Jr. You mean that coke addict from the 90s? It's going to be so good.
No, he actually could give a very expressive performance. You'll see.
So they wanted to bring their comic superheroes to the big screen. They would create individual films to introduce and give backstories to Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. And then the fifth film would be where the four come together and become the Avengers. Merrill Lynch gave them a loan, and it was off to the races. First off was Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk in 2008, followed by Thor and Captain America, the First Avenger, in 2011.
Can I just say, now, this makes it sound like such an endearing story. They just went to the bank? Like, can I do this?
Apparently, like, they even had some, like, Wall Street people, like, run the numbers, and like, statistically, does it make sense to even try this?
David is basically a Wall Street person.
Okay.
So we can do this. We can make a movie. We just got to go to step one, know a Wall Street person. Step two, go to the bank.
Step two, know anything about making movies.
Well, also, though, they had the characters. Like, we don't have characters.
Well, so now I think what Sam is also not mentioning, though, is that Sony owned all of their most profitable intellectual property of the X-Men and Spider-Man, the things people actually knew.
I was owned by Fox, I thought.
Or Fox, or whatever.
It was split up. Spider-Man was
other
Sony.
People.
Yeah.
I sounded like I knew shit, and then you just had to come in and undermine me.
Like a fucking nerd.
So as the films were one by one being made, Zach Penn, who had written The Incredible Hulk, was tasked with merging all the comic worlds into the Avenger film. He would start on it in 2007, and as the other films were developing, he would take pieces of the different worlds to blend them together. In 2010, Joss Whedon was hired as the director of the Avengers film. He was thrilled to take on the challenge, stating, quote, these people shouldn't be in the same room, let alone the same team. That is the definition of family.
All right.
He was given Penn's script and promptly told the producer to, quote, pretend this draft never happened. Marvel immediately asked for Whedon to not only direct, but rewrite the whole screenplay. Their only request was that the villain had to be Loki, The Avengers had to have fights among themselves, and the film needed to be ready for its May 2012 release. Although the film, we all know, is from Whedon's words, it is Joss Whedon completely, both Whedon and Penn share the official writing credit.
Okay.
Although Penn didn't do shit, they're both credited.
Oh, Whedon's pretty bitter about it, but
well, it turns out he's not a very nice guy, so it's fine.
Yeah.
He could share some fucking writing credit.
So this is the part of my speech where I normally talk about casting, but this movie was already mostly cast because obviously the people who played the superheroes in their origin movies were going to play them in The Avengers. But I do need to talk about the Hulk's amazing transformation. Edward Norton played the Hulk in The Incredible Hulk. It is unclear what the true story is behind why he didn't continue on with the role. According to the studio, Norton wasn't a team player and they wanted an actor who does well in an ensemble. According to Norton, he didn't want to be stuck playing the same role for years. I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle. But Norton would be replaced by his friend, Mark Ruffalo. Ruffalo would say of the switch, quote, "The way I see it is that Ed has bequeathed this part to me. I look at it as my generation's Hamlet."
Can you verify this for me? So is that Hulk movie actually a part of the MCU?
Yes. The Incredible Hulk is, yes.
But
because he references it in the movie.
However, when I go to DisneyPlus.com on my TV app and it says Marvel Phase 1 movies, I don't see it there.
Do you only have 5?
What?
There's 6 of them. There's 6 in the phase one.
I think, Michael, sometimes it's not considered part of phase one, even though. And also, streaming rights. And also, streaming rights are weird, so they might not even have it on Disney.
Okay, but officially, it is canon.
It is officially canon, and there is a whole, like, I read it, but I didn't really care, if I'm being honest, that originally Paramount had the 5, but at one point after Iron Man 2, Disney bought it, but also Paramount still got to put their label on it. So it's very, I don't know who has the rights.
So, okay, one more lame, nonsense, unrelated question. Was the original Iron Man a Disney film?
No, Disney had not bought it yet. It wasn't until Iron Man 2.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's enough of my question.
That they got involved. Paramount was the one who had the distributing at that point.
Gotcha.
Okay. So filming would take place in New Mexico, Ohio, and New York City between April and September of 2011. A few fun facts about filming. Robert Downey Jr. hid food all over the lab set, and the crew was unable to find all of his snacks. So while filming, he would randomly just pull out food and then munch on it during the scene. So all of that food he's eating, that was food he hid. They couldn't find it. And then, yeah, he just decided to eat while doing the scene.
That's endearing. I like that.
In the scene where the Hulk crashes through an abandoned warehouse, he's greeted by a security guard who asks him, quite unfazed, if the Hulk is an alien. The security guard was played by Harry Dean Stanton, who friends of the podcast might remember as Brett from the film Alien.
Oh.
Wait.
Well,
who?
One of the crewmen in Alien, Brett.
Okay. That actor is extremely familiar, but I think there's something else I recognize him from besides a...
Very possibly.
Yeah.
While filming the final battle, 25 members of the 391st Military Police Baton were used as extras. And as with ensemble films, it's very rare for all the cast to be in the same town at the same time, you know, just scheduling and whatnot. So on one of the rare nights that they were all gathered, Chris Evans sent out a text to all the cast that simply said, "Assemble." And they all went out that night in the town.
Aww, so that's fun.
I thought that was cute. That is cute. Also, a fun fact that Joss Whedon's first script idea, he titled it Avengers Assembly Required. And I thought that was cute.
That's
too.
Cute. That's Here's another cute. Fun fact that's probably going to come up. Mark Ruffalo is from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Are you kidding me?
You can go to Ruffalo's restaurant in Kenosha.
That's actually new information, and I really like that.
Okay, well, Colleen can do the fix, but no. I do want to mention briefly about the work that went into creating the Hulk. This was the first film to use CGI to create the superhero.
Wait.
In the 70s
what,
and
was he
80s,
a man before?
In the 70s and 80s, Hulk was played by two different actors. So one would be Banner, and then the bigger one was Hulk.
Gotcha. Lou
Ferrigno. And then in The Incredible Hulk, the character was made with key-free animation. So to create the CGI look, they modeled the Hulk after his body, after bodybuilder Steve Rom, and then put Ruffalo's face on it.
Okay.
So it wasn't all new for Hulk, though, to create his voice. They actually brought in the original Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. Thank you. So the Hulk voice is Mark Ruffalo, Ferrigno, a little bit of the sound editor, and then he said two people from New Zealand, so I don't know who they are, but cool for them. The film contained more than 2,200 special effects, and they had to bring in 14 different companies to get it all done. So they premiered the film, and all of a sudden, hit with a brilliant idea, Joss Whedon brought all of the actors back so that they could film a after-the-credits scene where they're eating shawarmas. That scene was actually shot the day after the world premiere of this movie, and then just added on.
Oh, that's cool.
You won't see Chris Evans eating because he was actually filming Snowpiercer, I think it was.
Yeah.
So he had a shaved head and a big beard on. So they had to put a prosthetic over his face, and it basically looked like he had massive swelling. So he just kind of covers his face and he can't eat anything. So that's why he looks kind of weird. But apparently after the film premiered, shawarma sales skyrocketed around the United States.
Nice. Good job, shawarma.
The film would premiere on April 11th, 2012, and it did very well. It was it was the highest grossing film of 2012. It is currently the 8th highest grossing film of all time.
Was it the highest grossing film until the next big Avengers film?
It was the third.
Oh.
The highest it got was the third highest grossing overall.
Okay.
And then it kind of fell down. And it's not the highest now. I think Endgame is highest.
I think Endgame and Infinity War were both higher. Like, I thought they were really big. Is that wrong, Michael?
Don't know.
I'm looking at it right now. Sorry. Oh, you're right. Yes, Endgame is number 2 and Infinity War is number 5.
What's number 1?
Would you have any guesses?
Highest grossing movie of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Avatar?
It is Avatar.
Still?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, this is because of its re-release in China. That's right. That's recent.
Damn.
And this is the first Marvel film to earn $1 billion.
Nice.
It was nominated for an Academy Award, but it did not win.
What?
It was nominated for one. It was nominated for Best Visual Effects. If you're wondering what beat it, it was Life of Pi.
Oh, sure. That actually had really cool visuals.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was okay with that when I saw that. This movie would have, obviously, three sequels.
Which was an Ang Lee movie who directed The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, there you go. Which was Avengers Age of Ultron, Infinity War, and Endgame. So I did ask Michael and Colleen if they had any questions that they specifically wanted me to look into.
Mine were joke questions.
Well, I looked it up for you. Why didn't the flying aircraft carrier have any kind of emergency exit protocol?
That was mine.
Yep, that was yours. So it's called a helicarrier.
Okay. Sure it is. Probably because it's a helicopter and a carrier.
And it was designed by Howard Stark, who's Tony Stark's dad.
And he just hates emergency exit protocols.
He does. After the, quote, attack on the helicarrier, Tony Stark would upgrade it so that they had repulsory technology rather than turbines to allow it to stay into the air indefinitely. So they didn't really have a protocol, it seems like.
Sounds like they still don't. I mean, it sounds like they just make it a really good ship.
They upgraded
it. Why does it need to be in the air in the first place? That was never clear to me.
That's a good question.
But I do have a fun fact about the helicarrier. In the comics, it has a flying glass dome. But they thought it would
look... So it's more dangerous.
They thought it would look funny, so they took it out.
Maybe if you have a super secret agency, like, you're not, OSHA doesn't come visit, right?
I mean, just go to the ocean. Or is that OSHA's? That was not the joke. The joke is, like... Just be
I meant OSHA, like workplace protection agency.
Right. And I'm saying you don't have to be in the sky. You can just be in the ocean.
Yes, correct. I thought you were doing a joke, though.
It was kind of a bit, but
so the next question was, does Captain America need to exercise? The general consensus is probably not, as the super soldier serum should in theory keep him in peak shape without the need to exercise. However, in some of the comics, he is stating that he needs to keep training because he doesn't have the powers that the other Avengers have. The idea being that his body would still stay amazing, but he wants to stay in tip-top fighting shape.
Okay, so exercise helps.
Yep. How does Iron Man get the permits for setting up his own power grid? Now, when you Google power grid right now, even when you include Iron Man, everything that comes up is Texas. So I had to kind of dig around, and basically I can tell you that Tony actually created his own energy company. That's called Stark Resilient, and he uses it to give free energy to the world. So
to New York City? I'm just saying the permit process there is nonsense.
That's the best I got for you.
I know it's an alternative universe.
Could he have called it Stark Sparks?
That would have been better. That would have been way better.
I feel like you don't want an electricity company with sparks in the name. Sparks are bad.
Stark Haywire. Come on down.
And the final question you guys had for me and my final fact for you today is, what is the objective ranking of the cast sexiness?
Oh, I actually do want to know this.
So this was a hard one to do because how do you rank sexiness in an objective way?
That's why you're a researcher.
The first thing I did was search. I was going to do, when did they get ranked as people's sexiest man alive? Only one Avenger in this film has been people's sexiest man alive, which was shocking to me. So the question is, which one?
Robert Downey Jr.
I'm going to guess Mark Ruffalo.
The only one who's ever been is Chris Hemsworth in 2014.
I should have guessed that.
So then
I thought it was like a Robert throwback, like in the times when that was a big deal.
Yeah, no, I was surprised he didn't make the list. I was surprised all of them didn't make the list. So that's why. So that was my first wave.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's got to have made the list, right?
But he's not there in the Avengers in this one.
So then I decided to go onto the Marvel actual page and see their rankings and stuff. So I spoke with my fiance and decided out of all the topics, which ones we thought were the most, quote, sexy. He picked fighting skills and I picked intelligence. So if we are going off of fighting skills being sexy, who has the highest in fighting skills in this movie? It is actually Nick Fury, who has a 7 out of 7.
I mean, what does fighting skills mean?
How good he is at fighting?
I guess, like, if you have a lot of superpowers, you're not that good at fighting. You just power.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'm just going to throw my hammer at you. Isn't that skilled, I guess?
Right. Yep. Following that is Captain America, Black Widow, Iron Man, Hawkeye, Hulk, Thor, and finally the least sexy in this case would be Loki. Now, I said intelligence was the most sexy. In that case, the number one is Iron Man and Hulk tied. Loki, followed by Captain America, Black Widow, Nick Fury, and the least sexy in this case would be Thor and Hawkeye.
What about just Sam's personal preference?
Well, that would be objective.
Yeah. So what is it?
Oh boy, I didn't even think of that.
You better too busy. Think of it because I'm not editing this part.
What? No, don't do that to me.
No, I'm just kidding.
Michael, what's yours?
Chris Hemsworth, easily. With short hair, though.
Easily.
Easily.
Oh, do you like him when he has the eye patch? No?
No, not the eye patch, but the short hair.
Okay, okay.
I'm Captain America, baby.
That's a good one.
Oh, we all
That's
knew that one.
That's a good one. He's my second.
He's got a nice butt, and he's got a real sense of responsibility, which I find very attractive.
I would probably go with Bruce Banner. Not the Hulk, but Bruce Banner.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo was cute 10 years ago.
I mean, this movie's 10 years old.
That's when this movie came out.
So he's 13
Sorry,
years
I
old.
Meant, I meant in 2012 he was cute 10 years ago. That's what I meant. But even then, he's all squidgy. I don't know.
Well, yeah. some people like that.
People like squidgy.
But I really liked this segment. Thank you so much. Was it over?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was over. Unless you wanted an animal fact, it's over.
What's the animal fact? Does it have anything to do with hawks?
It does not have to do with hawks. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Hold on, let me find it. How many hearts does an octopus have?
3.
Let's say 8. 1 for each tentacle.
It does have 3. 2.
I know that from the Finding Nemo sequel, Finding Dory.
2 of the hearts work exclusively to move blood through the gills, while the third helps circulate through the organs. And the organ heart actually stops beating when the octopus swims. So that's why they tend to crawl on the floor, because swimming exhausts them.
All right.
And that cool. was Bam.
Time for Sam.
All right. Let's go to our next segment, Critics Corner, where we hear what the critics have to say. All right. This is from Candace Frederick of Real Talk Online. The comedic timing coupled with his ability to maintain the authenticity of the characters is worthy of praise. The Avengers delivers a popcorn feast that's the perfect summer kickoff.
Was it a good summer?
2012?
Yeah. What happened?
That's a pretty good summer for me.
Yeah. Obama was president.
Yeah. And right. then we elected him again that year. So.
Nice. Go us.
We did it.
We did it. Yes, we can. This one's by Anders Beer, who writes for Amazon Reviews. This is like taking a box of superhero toys and jamming your head repeatedly into the box until your eyes wide open, until you are blind and bleeding. Another film where it's obvious nobody really cared about the actual cinema craft. Good storytelling, good photography. Screw that. Let's make a bunch of really idiotic action sequences for people who are dressed for no sensible reason at all, like 8-year-olds on Halloween.
Whoa.
So he thinks just kind of superheroes are dumb.
Sure. This is from Deborah Ross of The Spectator. This will be loved by genre fans when all is said and done, but at 2 hours 40, you may find it numbs your bum. Seriously, more attention to character could have made it a lot more fun. And now that I've said all that, I believe my poem is done.
What? Is this a real person?
It's a real person at The Spectator.
And her bum was numbed.
Because it's so long.
Wow. I mean, it's 2:24. We looked it up. All right. This one's by Mark Egan. Wow, what a horrible movie. Scarlett Johansson isn't even good looking. How come the Hulk pants grow when he grows?
Good question.
We should have Sam.
Thank you, Mr. Egan. This is from Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian. For me, no superhero crew without Kick-Ass's Hit Girl could ever be truly awesome. What? But this one is registering strongly on the awesome-o-meter nonetheless. It is an enjoyable, absurd, and absurdly enjoyable extravaganza, both delirious and surrealist. I love that an elderly British Guardian writer is just like, well, it's not Kick-Ass.
I mean, I really like the movie Kick-Ass, but I'm still like in shock by this review. I guess. I mean, it was a hot movie in 2012.
I guess.
I don't know.
I love his devotion to it.
You
That's
know
great.
What? I'm okay. Peter, all right. All right, here's by Jennifer, who writes for Amazon. Not bad, but I think I'll just stick to X-Men. All jokes on you, Jennifer, because
it's coming back.
It's coming back. That was Critics Corner.
I think the most annoying criticism is like, ugh, there are just too many superhero movies. I mean, there's just too much of everything.
Actually, not true.
That's true.
There's not too many. Hold on.
Unicorn movies.
You know what, though? Not a lot. I haven't seen a lot of those.
There's a writer I really like who said this thing where she's like, I love that there are too many superhero movies because then you get to try really weird stuff. I mean, like, WandaVision couldn't exist without an oversaturation of this superhero movies.
Yeah, can I push back, though? If there were way too many unicorn movies, and then they made a WandaVision with unicorns, I would probably like that a little bit better. Or it starts off as a 1950s sitcom, but then it's just, like,
unicorns.
I would love
Michael, that. Good point!
So it's like,
Credit to Sarah Marshall, that's the writer. All right. Let's start with our intern summary of the film. So here's what goes down, guys. Buckle in. We got evil, but he's kind of sexy. Ladies love him.
This is literally what's written. That's a summary.
God Loki, played by Tom Hiddleston and Sam's best friend. Oh my God, what's her name?
Oh, we're bringing Haley into this?
Haley. Sam's best friend.
What an inside joke.
I think what's so funny about that is how like offended Sam is because she's like trying to be a good friend. But like if someone told me I look like Tom Hiddleston, I'd be like, thank you.
And you could see Sam's heart nodding in agreement.
So anyway, so the sexy Loki, he arrives at a top secret shield base, stealing an all-powerful alien tesseract. Now that's the shiny cube, guys. So he turns Hawkeye, the super useful Hawkeye with the arrows, Jeremy Renner, and Dr. Eric Selvig, played by one of the least sexy Skarsgårds, sorry, Stellan, into his zombified slaves. So that's too bad.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll continue with this next paragraph, which I will
Michael,
read.
Michael, did you used to have the Jeremy Renner app on your phone?
I did. Well, that's how you got sort of all access to everything Jeremy Renner. So if he were to like put a blog post or put a music video out.
You just have it all in one place.
Yeah, I think you would just look at it. If you wanted to get right to it, like, okay, I'm looking at Jeremy Renner's Facebook post. Cool. But God, I just want to go to his Twitter right now. It's like, you could just do that. Like, there's no barrier. Right? That's why we have iPhones to do this kind of thing. So S.H.I.E.L.D. director Nick Fury, played by Samuel L. Jackson, decides it's time to bring out the big guns. And when someone who's less... This is what's written in here. Come on. And when someone whose last name is Fury gets furious, well, you know it's rage time.
You didn't have to read it.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do? Think of my own thing to say?
So they decide to assemble a group of heroes he just happens to know to get the Tesseract back. Unfrozen World War II hero Captain America, Chris Evans, who's really going through it right now. Celebrity billionaire Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., and the ominously twitchy Dr. Bruce Banner, Mark Ruffalo. Hey, you know who I think is pretty cool? I like Black Widow. I think Scarlett Johansson does a pretty good job, given the limitations of her role.
I mean, I feel like she does as good a job as everyone else.
Yeah. Obviously, women are not well represented in this universe. Maybe
1 out of 6. You know, you got a slice.
I like that cute scene where she's getting beat up in the chair, and then she beats up all the guys in the chair. I like that.
It was a good scene, but I still have a little bit of like it's great to have a strong female character, but when it's like, oh, I just felt like they really drew attention to that in the scene. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, where they're like, wait, you're strong, but you're a woman.
I see what you're saying. And they totally do that a little bit. Like, I think you're kind of like the Mary Sue thing. But I actually like how they hint at her character in some interesting ways, as much as the time is allotted for her not being that important of a character. Right? Like when she's talking to Loki and he's like, oh, you love him? Love is for children. I don't know. I thought she was pretty good.
She's pretty good.
But I think people don't really think of her when they think of this movie for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Hawkeye's kind of the butt of the movie.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he is both he's the weak link in every way of that despite in later movies them saying something like, well, he's our leader. I'm like, fuck, who told what? I guess what else is he gonna do?
Maybe one reason why I don't like love this movie is because I don't fully ever buy into the fact that they need to assemble. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't know. It does feel like they needed to assemble. How else would they have done that?
How else would they have done what?
Leveled New York.
I mean, maybe just because I'm coming from video games, but like, if four out of your... Hold on, let me think about this. How many of them fly? One.
Thor kind of flies. Remember then, when he...
I just saying, if your heroes are six people, five of which do not fly, and some of them kind of can jump high. Having them fly...
Hulk can jump real high.
Having them...
He can jump up a skyscraper. That's I just don't think
fighting an infinite army of flying aliens is a good matchup. Like, I think the Joker is a good matchup for Batman. An infinite army of flying aliens, I don't think, is a good matchup for the Avengers.
But it turned out to be. Like, it worked that way.
I mean, yeah, in the plot, when Joss Whedon wrote it, he said, and this worked out. But I'm saying, I don't think it's like that good of a matchup.
It did sell it to you. Okay. Fair enough. I guess I bought it. But I bought it in the way that these kind of big battles never really make sense anyway. So I just
could have made
that.
Sense.
What?
If That's they chose something here. Different.
Sure. I actually do kind of like that about Civil War, which is not an Avengers movie, but because it's a Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
I know I liked that they finally did a movie that wasn't just some battle that didn't really make sense, but
it was still anyway. A battle that didn't make sense.
Well, yeah, it didn't make sense that they were fighting.
Or it had
each other.
No consequences because they all lived. It was fine.
Well, that's all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, okay. Anyway, let's keep going. It's your turn.
So they nab Loki in short order, thanks to wayward gods. Kneel before Zod. What am I reading?
I don't know.
the wayward god kneel for a moment. Should I just like summarize in my own words what's happening?
Yes, you can do that.
Shit, what happens in this movie?
Oh my god, I love this part though, because all Loki has to do is get someone's eyeballs so that his friend can break into a safe and they can use that retina scan. And instead he decides to put on a fancy tux with a little walking cane and strut into a crowded party and grab the guy and throw him on a golden altar to get the eyeball. Like, he's such a dramatic little bitch.
It's very fun.
It is very fun. And then he does this whole like, kneel to me, but apparently he was trying to get caught. Anyway, go on.
Right. So at that point, Captain America says, last time I saw somebody in Germany, he was Hitler. And then they capture him.
That was exactly the line. Last time I saw someone in Germany.
And it was bad. So then they've got Loki on the plane, and I'm not looking at the summary anymore. And then they got Loki on the plane, and they're like, great, we capture him. We're going to go report to S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever. But then Thunder starts a brewing, and then I think Thor like smashes down and takes Loki out of the plane. Yeah. Yep, and yep. Then Captain America says, I don't need a parachute because of Christianity. And then he
definitely puts on a parachute.
Oh, what's the line?
She's like, hey, Cap, this isn't your fight. They're gods. And he says, I only know one god, ma'am. And he doesn't dress like that.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
And that's a stupid scene because I just told you I don't like to pick apart these movies. But I do remember in theaters, I thought it was a little weird where they meet each other and then they immediately try to murder each other. Like, Thor doesn't know that Iron Man is Iron Man, and he just fucking throws his hammer at him. He's like, you're in my way, murder. But he doesn't get murdered because he's Iron Man.
I once saw a long video of somebody saying why this movie was so good, and they complimented that scene for kind of establishing some rules of like, well, okay, so if Horse Hammer
is
like
an
infinite power thing, and Captain America's shield is like an infinite power thing, what happens when those two collide? And they demonstrate a couple of those things.
Oh, that is helpful, actually. Good point, Michael.
But you're right. They're like, okay, so you're just fighting now? Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So yeah, and then once Loki's on the whole thing, he's just hanging around and the heroes start fighting. Which, by the way, so I feel like sometimes people think I'm joking when I talk about how much I love Captain America. But I love that he has to always be the buzzkill. Like, somebody has to do it, you know? He comes in at one point, you got Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, and he keeps poking Mark Ruffalo like, huh? You're going to be the Hulk? And Captain America's like, is everything a joke to you? I don't think it's funny to compromise the safety of everyone on the ship. And I'm like, yes, Captain America, that is not funny.
No, I actually like 100% agree with you.
I
and Chris Evans just plays it so like concerned.
I just love his earnestness. I think it is adorable. And I think that he is very different from the other Avengers in a way no one else is. Like, right? Like, everyone, even Thor in later movies gets like really kind of fun and snide and sarcastic. And
I feel like they didn't figure out Thor until the third one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When I saw him in this movie, I'm like, who is he?
Right.
Where Mark Ruffalo's kind of shy. He's like, oh, I'm just a Mark Ruffalo.
But he still also makes snide jokes.
But I still feel like they're all kind of distinct.
Oh, that's... you're right. I'm being a little unfair. But I just really, really like Captain America's earnestness. And I think Chris Evans really plays it well. That's it. That's all I've got. And he's very, very attractive. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not looking at this thing anymore. Are we getting to the scene where they get to the aircraft carrier?
Yeah, things are bad at the aircraft carrier. Tell us what happens.
Okay, but I'm not reading the thing. So they get to this aircraft carrier, big boat in the middle of the ocean, and they're like, actually, this isn't a boat. This flies. And I don't know what you're about to say, but it turns out to be a unique thing for the movie. Like, it's an interesting set that they're in this giant aircraft carrier that flies.
Do you feel like the Avengers film is like pro bloated military budget?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go on.
And they lock up Loki in... Well, okay, so they also have the Hulk. We haven't really talked about the Hulk much. Because they're...
You know what it is.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, the Hulk is interesting in this movie just because... I felt like not a lot of people saw that Hulk movie, the original one. So I felt like he was kind of introduced, especially because he's played by a new actor. And I just felt like he was really done well in this movie. And I feel like when a lot of people saw the Avengers, he was kind of one of the biggest takeaways. I feel like his line at the end of the movie is like really memorable when he says, I'm always angry.
You know what, Michael? I get why you were like kind of pushing back against my Scarlett Johansson thing. Cause now that you're saying these things and I was just talking about Chris Evans, they're all really good.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
And I even talk bad about Robert or like, I'm not that much of a fan of Robert Downey. He's always making jokes. He's always being an ass and he's not that funny. But I think Robert Downey does really give a good performance.
He gives a great performance. And I don't like that. I think what gets me about Robert Downey's character is how much other people like it. That bothers me. Yeah. That like he is just kind of a mean asshole and people think that's charming, but he does it very well and it's a really good piece of the puzzle in that group, right? Like,
but
he adds to the chemistry of it very well.
When he swings into, actually I'm upset and this is important and I'm going to be dramatic, I always really buy it.
Mm-hmm.
He's always totally really, really good at that.
Well, so you were talking about how, I mean, because the thing is, this is actually, as we said, there's a lot of action in this movie, but it's not that long. It's only 2 hours, 20 minutes. And Mark Ruffalo doesn't get that much time, but you really get who he is. And he has this moment where he's like, oh, you were going to kill me? Good luck. I've tried. I put a bullet in my mouth. And the other guy spat it out. And that was such a good line delivery.
It was. You know, was it maybe a little bit out of the blue? Like, how do we find the Tesseract? Like, well, I tried to commit suicide. I felt like it was a little bit like, whoa, okay, we'll talk about it later, I guess.
I do think it made sense, but yeah, that's funnier to me.
Yeah, it made more sense in the scene, yeah.
This is very funny, though. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
Can I say something else? What I was saying before is that, yeah, Hulk is in this movie and his introduction scene where he meets Scarlett Johansson is good. But anyway, so we're back in the aircraft carrier and Loki's locked up. One thing that I just always think is kind of funny is that his like oh, I actually really wanted to get locked up. And I thought at the time that this movie came out, I thought that was kind of a joke plot point. Like they did that in The Dark Knight where the Joker got locked up and he really wanted to. And I think that's actually the first line of The Dark Knight Rises is where Bane is on a plane and one of the pilots is like, he wanted to get captured. And I thought it was kind of a running joke that movies would do this all the time.
I think that The Dark Knight did not invent that. I think this is a very
But The Dark Knight was very popular.
Oh, sure, sure.
And I thought that worked in that movie. But it's like, now it's just done all the time.
This didn't work for you?
No, because I don't really know why he wanted to get locked up.
Maybe I don't either. I just saw it.
He wanted to get locked up so that he would make the Hulk mad.
Yeah. I guess. You know what's weird? I watched it and that didn't bother me at all. Huh.
I mean, the Joker's whole thing is like, you think you're in control, but you're not really. That made sense that they would lock him up, but he's still in control.
Also seemed like Loki's supposed to be this evil genius who's playing 3D chess and like he is trying to get everyone to fight with each other and distrust each other and like be afraid of the Hulk, who could be an asset. Maybe. And then he doesn't realize the power of friendship and love.
Yeah. I think this movie is good, but it could have been better. Like, I feel like him being more of a trickster.
That's true about every movie.
Not of Into the Spider-Verse.
No. Let's not compare everything to Into the Spider-Verse. Okay. That's rude.
Okay. I'm just saying. That's my spectrum.
Okay. Also, Agent Coulson dies, which is a lot. Sorry, spoilers. Which is not as emotionally driven when we know that he doesn't really die.
Does he not really die?
Yeah, he comes back.
Yeah, because then they just, okay, explain this to me, right? So he dies in this movie, quote unquote dies, and then isn't this when the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show came out?
Yeah.
So what's that? Explain that.
Well, wasn't that starring Robert Scherbatsky from How I Met Your Mother? Sam, has Sam seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, you mean Colby Smulders, the funniest named person alive?
I think she has bit parts in it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought it starred Coulson.
It stars Coulson. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Smulders.
No, you answered correctly. I changed the subject.
I haven't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I heard that they couldn't actually, because they hadn't figured out where the MCU was going, they couldn't use any of like Marvel stuff. They could only reference things that have already happened,
like Jessica Jones,
right? Which is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2013, so they must have explained it pretty darn quick.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm confused. There's so much Marvel stuff, you know, I'm lost,
right? Okay, so Agent Coulson dies and we care about this a lot. The movie sets it up that we care, and then he has these Captain America vintage trading cards and they have, it has blood all over, and he goes,
this is the down moment.
And this is when he's like, be friends and work together, guys, because look at all this blood on these cards. Which apparently he just put, I don't know where he got the blood to put on there, but.
Yeah, okay. So here's maybe another point why I don't love this film. Because there was the scene where they all fought each other, and we're like, okay, that's dumb. Do they really need to fight? It felt kind of artificial. And then in every other scene, it's like, there's not really that much tension between them.
I totally disagree. The bickering scene was really good. I especially loved when, so Tony and the Hulk are like, something's weird here. And Captain America's like, just do your job. Follow your orders. But Captain America doesn't think that's right.
But even in that scene, they're all kind of on the same page.
I just feel like it felt real to me. I thought it was good. Because then they work together.
I think we're saying the similar things. Because I agree with you, the performance is good, the scenes are good, the emotions are right. But specifically, like, are they against each other? Do they hate each other? I don't particularly feel that they hate each other.
I guess if I were Captain America, I would hate Tony. So, and if you don't remember that Captain America has baggage with the Starks. So he does already hate Tony.
I guess I did forget that.
Anyway, so that's what's happening. Why don't you tell us what happens next?
So then the Hulk gets, I'm trying to remember what. Oh yeah, Hawkeye has somehow used the something. He knows where they are. So he is going toward the ship, and this makes Hulk upset. I'm trying to remember what exactly the chain of events is there.
We can just go past the ship. Like, the Hulk has left.
Well, it's important. The ship is crumbling, and then the Avengers are all like, let's team up. Let's fix the ship. And there should be like parachutes or something.
Yeah, there's no emergency exit situation there. Mm-hmm. There should be some labor board complaints about this these working conditions for the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So, and also Iron Man figures out where the Tesseract is. It's just on Stark Tower, which here's a weird complaint I have. Stark Tower has the dumbest font used for it. But I think it's so later in the film when all of the letters fall away. It's just A. It looks like the Avengers. Yeah,
isn't
a.
it just like a normal Helvetica type, but it's italicized and bold
on a skyscraper?
What would you do? What font are you going?
I would do a normal sans serif business. Also, I probably wouldn't put it at the top of the building because you're just... I agree with Captain America. It's an ugly-ass building.
Oh, right. I mean, because you'd have to look up.
Yeah. It's a stupid place to put it. It's a dumb point. Building.
That's a good point, actually.
But again, it's all for the later gag of having just an A on there. That's the right typeface from the comics. Whatever.
Whatever.
So that was really important. So anyway, everybody realizes that the Tesseract is on Stark Tower. What happens then?
I think Tony just goes to the Stark Tower, tries to stop the portal from going on, and that's where we meet the scientist again. The scientist who we see from Thor, who is the brother, the Swedish man. What's his last name? Schwarzgard.
Skarsgard.
Not close. Anyway, so then he meets up with Loki and he's like, you know what? He's like very casual. He's taking off his armor. He's talking about how the Avengers are going to go after because the Avengers are all pissed. And then he uses that stall tactic to get Jarvis to build him his like new Iron Man suit as Loki throws him off the building and he gets a super armor on. Remember that point where Iron Man's like, wait a minute, S.H.I.E.L.D., you're using your technology to make weapons? And then 20 minutes later, he presses a button and like a million little robot missiles come out of his shoulder. I'm like, you still make weapons. Come on.
I mean, it is very much a Batman doesn't kill people, but he puts guns on his car situation.
These are safety guns.
They're peacemakers.
Good guy with a gun.
It actually bothered me so much earlier when they were looking for the Tesseract and they're like, we're getting into every Wi-Fi network in the country. If your device has a camera, we're going to find it.
Which was such a moment in Batman The Dark Knight where they're like, this is morally complex. But in this movie, they're just like, oh, great. Now we can find them.
Perfect. Thanks for setting that up, man.
Great. Do we have to spend any time like on the plot on this? Like, no. We're just going to go right past that.
It's great. Anyway... So anyway, there's a portal opening up in aliens, and then there's a big fight between all the aliens and the people, and there's no plot to explain there. Big fight, except that earlier in the movie, Captain America's all mad at Tony because he's an asshole, and he's like, how could you call yourself a hero? You'd never put yourself on the line. And then, what does he do, Michael?
He puts himself on the line. He says, I'm going to take this nuke up through the portal. And Chris Evans like, well, if you do that, there's no going back, which he doesn't know. You know, he just said that. He clearly has no idea what he's fucking talking about.
He's like, a 1940s white guy. He's
on
the
call
the
saying that, like, you're never going to come back. And then he like takes the phone away from his ear. He's like, I have no fucking idea. And so then Tony.
Well, he was wrong, I guess.
Right. So Tony does make the final sacrifice. He does take the nuke through the portal, blows up the mothership. Very convenient how it deactivates all the robots in New York City. And then he kind of just drifts down through the portal.
Yes. And then but he's fine. So everyone settled down. Do you like how Captain America is like so in the 40s that he doesn't know any pop culture references, but he's like not racist at all? Like, that's pretty cool.
That, you know what? That was the right decision.
I mean, I'm glad. Like, I didn't want the writers to make it real.
And Joss like, Whedon's yes. like, Black Panther's in this movie, huh? I don't know. Maybe the second one.
It's okay. His best friend is Falcon.
That's
fine.
True. Okay, I have one more point to make. Scarlett Johansson, great actress. Black Widow, she kicks. How fun is that? But how funny is it when she's like, the aliens are here. Ping, 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 ping with her little pistols.
It is not as funny as the fucking bow and arrows. Let's be honest with ourselves.
The bow and arrows are bombs. Like, a bomb is more than a pistol.
Are they bombs? I thought some they were just
they're all
sometimes
like different.
Bombs.
They're sometimes bombs. Sometimes bombs.
Also, he just has a normal quiver. What is that? 20 arrows? I'll give it to him that there's 50
yeah,
arrows.
Yeah, but it's
in
like
there.
A revolver. They kind of spin around.
Oh, is it magic? I mean, right. These two should not be in the Avengers. Like, it's nonsense.
God, the opening scene with Hawkeye where he's like up on a railing. And then Samuel Jackson's like, why the fuck are you on that railing? And he goes, I can see better from a distance. It's like, no, you can't. You're just a guy.
You're just a normal human person.
That's so dumb. Do your fucking job, man.
Hawkeye is the worst.
He is. Here's who's the best out of anybody in this call. Our brother John for a segment that we call Bro Call.
Bring, bring. John.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Hey, John, have you seen a little film called The Avengers? What do you think of it?
Yeah, so The Avengers. When you guys first were coming up with this new concept for the podcast, and I put together my version of the list to submit to you guys. This is the first movie I wrote down. Under like the 100 I submitted to you guys.
Yeah, The Avengers are a big deal. That's
yeah, cool. I mean, this was such a commercial success, and it had such massive scope that we'll never see anything like it again. Thank you, DCU, for proving it. when are we ever going to see a miniseries but through movies ever again like this?
They also tried to make the Monsters universe.
I've heard someone argue that technically Harry Potter was kind of more of a template for this.
Yeah, I could buy that, though you would also then need to have like offshoot movies and weaving through.
Well, and the offshoot movies suck. So I think that they are doing this more successfully than Harry Potter.
Right, yeah, but that was just like the start.
Sure.
The Avengers universe, and I did put Avengers like representing the whole thing, not just the Avengers movie, even though the Avengers movie was like the capstone. This movie, I mean, the series has a veneer of cohesiveness that it manages to pull off, even if, like, if you scratch beneath the surface, it doesn't make a lick of sense. I mean,
I think for AFI purposes, I would probably pick 2008 Iron Man, right? Like,
I think I put that on the list too.
All right.
Yeah. But I think the cohesiveness is something I want to harp on here because obviously there are things that you can. This movie doesn't make that much sense underneath the surface. Like, what the hell is Loki's actual plan? If you really break it down, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what is he trying to do? Why didn't he just bring Iridium with him? Why does he have to fight the Avengers in the first place? Just kind of, he's the god of mischief. Why is he fighting them in a strip bear fight?
Because he's a fucking diva. They make that point in the movie. He is a flair for the dramatic. He wants to win a glorious battle and be told about in song. It's his character.
Yeah, I'm baking in this negative point on top of a big positive one because how many movies are in the MCU at this point and TV shows? Like what, 30, 20? Something ridiculous. Star Wars and the sequels couldn't pull off this cohesiveness in 3 goddamn movies.
No.
So the fact that they pulled this off and made so much money is incredible. Incredible.
Did you get my point about how they were going to make one with monsters? There was going to be like a shared universe of the Mummy and Frankenstein and Dragon.
Oh, the Dark Universe.
The Dark Universe. I'm sad that didn't happen. That sounds very funny. But the Mummy was so bad. Like, that was surprisingly bad.
And wasn't Tom Cruise in that?
He sure was, John.
Maybe we should watch that one. That could be fun.
Don't be an asshole.
Oh, my movie is going to be way worse than The Mummy.
Oh.
We get to look forward to that. So, yeah, I mean, I like this movie. There are many things that I mean, it's an enjoyable movie. The characters are enjoyable. Everyone has fun powers and has fun names. There's over bombastic sights, even like a helicarrier doesn't make any sense. It's really fun to see. And it's fun to see the characters be themselves, even if I do. I like Robert Downey Jr., but I hate the character of Tony Stark. I hate
really?
Him.
Really? John, I'm shocked.
His character changes from movie to movie. He's still the arrogant ass, but like his motivation changes.
Yeah, and it's called growth.
What?
It's growth. He grows.
Sure, growth. The other thing that I hate about him is the series franchise, always uses him as a hand wavy thing. Like, oh, we need a lot of money. Stark Industries. Oh, we need a super scientist. Tony Stark. We need to invent time travel. Tony Stark.
I love plot sheets. I like a movie to get going.
Yeah, he is like the queen of spades plot sheet.
John, I just thought that you really liked those kind of characters. I thought you were kind of a Dr. House, Dr.
John,
Cox
we
kind
thought
of guy.
You were an asshole. What's going on?
I am an asshole. Assholes don't really like other assholes. So sure. Come on.
You want to be all the right. King.
I did like Tony Stark in the original Iron Man, but after that it grew too much for me. Yeah. I also do like Chris Hemsworth's Thor, even though the original Thor movies suck. Thor 3 is so
Ragnarok.
It's by far my favorite Avengers movie.
Michael, tell him your bit about Thor Ragnarok. I love that one.
What's my bit? I don't remember.
Oh, with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I literally don't know what you're talking about.
About the interview with Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal, where they ask what their favorite Avengers movie is.
Just say it. Because I don't remember.
And Tom Holland's like, oh, I love Thor Ragnarok. And he goes on. And then Jake Gyllenhaal's like, yeah, that Thor movie. It like clearly had never seen an Avengers movie.
It's funny.
This is not familiar to you, Michael?
A little bit.
Okay. Anyway.
Out of curiosity, have you guys done, like, what is your favorite Avengers movies?
Probably that one, although I think I like the WandaVision show the most.
I think so too. Yeah, me too.
All right, I'll allow it. Sam, do you got one?
It's controversial. I really liked Thor 3. Or not Thor 3. I did like Thor 3. Iron Man 3.
That's a good one. That's a really
People
good
like
one.
People like that.
Also, the first half of Endgame, when they're all just sad, I loved that first part. That was amazing. When it got like, okay, now we're going to assemble and be time travel action heroes. I'm like, okay, I get it.
I do want to give credit. David Tennant is one of the best villains in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's a good show. Definitely.
I know it's going to make me like an SJW who's just virtue signaling, but I really like Black Panther. I really enjoyed that film.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like. I liked the world and I liked the characters. I didn't like the movie itself.
Good villain. He had a good villain.
I just thought it was so. Because I guess what I like to judge Avengers films on is how fun I had in the movie theater. And I just loved watching that. It's such a great soundtrack. So beautiful. So fun. Like, I just really liked it.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's a good way for me to go out on. I can find a lot of things to pick about, but this is such a fun franchise. It's fun. It was wildly complex. They pulled it off and it made a ton of money. I give it a B+.
Yeah, and as we've talked about, people try to be fun in the DC universe and they fail.
Nice. Thank you, John. To follow up, I also really like Captain America 2, and I really, really like both the Spider-Man movies. Those are both really, really good.
Oh, I forgot the Spider-Man movies.
The Tom Holland ones. Those are really, really good.
I actually like the first Spider-Man movie more than the second one.
The second one's really funny, though. That's good.
It is. Maybe I do like it. Shit.
You like a good comedy.
Yeah. You know how I know Robert Downey Jr.? When I was a kid, he was Ally McBeal's boyfriend, but they had to keep taking him off the show because he kept going back into rehab. People were very upset.
Was Spider-Man 2 the one where in their gymnasium and they had like the school assembly and they had they rolled out the little TV
the video with Captain America?
Like, let me tell you, blah, blah, blah.
Which was so funny, but it's like, why did he film this?
It's a funny movie.
It's very good. Yeah, I like, they're good at being funny. I think that Thor Ragnarok is so good because of that
Taika Waititi. Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. Anyway, Michael.
There was a part in Thor 2, sorry, but where they're like, this is the final battle. Oh, I'm Thor. I'm really far away. I guess I'll use the subway. And then there's just a cutaway of him at the subway. He's just riding. And one of the girls looks at him like, hey, what's up? And then that's the scene. So like some of the other Thor movies, you know, they got ups.
I actually really liked the first Thor movie. I agree with John that they didn't really figure out, or wait, maybe you said that they didn't figure out his character.
Right.
But
that's what I
had a fun, fun time.
They're fun.
Michael, why is this the worst movie ever?
Oh, let's see. Why is this the worst movie ever? Yeah, I just don't feel like, you know, the movie is about assembling the Avengers to fight Loki. And personally, I don't feel like they needed to assemble. I don't feel like the actual matchup was well designed between our heroes and the villains. And especially the end where like they start the fight and they basically establish right away, like there's an infinite amount of them. So like the whole time you're like, hey, so it doesn't matter how much damage they do because there's an infinite amount of them. So the whole fight is exciting because it's fun that they're fighting, but it's also kind of boring. So those are my negatives.
The point was they're trying to save as many people as they can while they figure out how to
they were trying to like contain it, which is why I think they're a bad force. Like you need a lot of people. You don't need six people. You need a lot of people to like contain the city.
The point is Michael Flaherty loves the military, loves the police, and just wants them to do their job.
I like good, balanced fights.
Okay, fair enough. I think this is the worst movie because if you don't like superhero movies, this is not for you.
Yeah, and they dress up in these weird costumes and yeah. Like they have powers. Like, that's not right.
I don't know. The fight sequences go on a while sometimes, and they clearly don't care about women at all. That's it. That's why it's the worst.
Why is it the best movie? You start.
Because it's just great. It's just a fun time. It's, yeah, as John said, there's a lot of things you can nitpick, as we have been happy to do for all of you. But I think this goes back to when we watched Star Wars. And you said, the most fun thing about it is it's just a bunch of friends going on an adventure. And I think all these actors are pretty good at what they do. And they have very good chemistry together in a way that's very believable. And you just believe in their friendship, and I like that.
I do like that, but it's not on my list. Top 10 friends movies. I don't think this makes my top 10.
Okay.
Of most friendship movies.
No, but I like that about this movie.
Yes, it is a good thing. This movie's a lot of fun. It's fun to watch. You know, they're superheroes, right? They're fighting bad guys. Come on. Come on.
Which is not that easy to do,
it's
apparently
hard to make that really work.
It feels like when you watch this movie you're like, oh, there should be 80 million movies like this, and then,
there are, but
then other people try it and they fail so bad.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the Suicide Squad?
No, I didn't.
We should watch that. No, don't. Is that what we're watching? No. All right, tell us what grade do you give it?
I give it a B+. Because here's the other thing about, I feel like I just like so many other superhero movies more. Maybe they're all Spider-Man movies, because I like the original two Spider-Man Sam Raimi movies more than this movie.
I'm sorry, you don't like Spider-Man 3?
I actually do like Spider-Man 3, if I'm honest.
I like it when they reference Spider-Man 3 into the Spider-Verse.
That's also very funny. And Kick-Ass is good too. I don't think it's better than this movie. Peter Bradshaw thinks so, but I don't know. I'm on the fence. So B+. That's my grade.
Yeah, I think I give it a B+ because, like, obviously it's a great movie. Like, it's fun. It does all the things. But as I said earlier, I love how Marvel has just gotten to be weird because of just the crazy amount of stuff they make. Like, I like Guardians of the Galaxy probably more than this movie. Just because it's, like, so weird, but it's the same kind of friendship thing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fun.
Fun friends. And super weird. It's like, it's just like space pirates who are buddies. I love it. That's a fun time.
That is a fun time. Who are we sponsored by?
This week, we are sponsored by Oreo Cookies.
What do they do?
Oh, Michael, I'm so glad you asked. They make what's called sandwich cookies. Mm-hmm. So you got like two little chocolate biscuits and then a cream center. That's like your cheese in a grilled cheese, but it's in a
sounds
cookie.
Pretty good. Where can I buy it?
Oh my gosh, Michael, you could buy it anywhere. You could buy it at a gas station. You could buy a convenience store, a corner store, a grocery store, probably at an airport. You could probably go to an airport right now. You could buy an Oreo.
I'm trying to figure
probably
out.
Probably not one. You probably have to buy a pack. I don't think they sell them individually.
How do we make this the joke? Because now we're just doing a proper ad.
Oreos are just really good. You can get them double stuffed. You can get them in weird ass flavors like green tea, probably. Or is that Kit Kats? I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, so they taste good. Now, on to our next movie. So I have chosen a really, it might be really horrible. It's a movie I don't think anyone really saw, but it is a real movie. It'll probably be an episode where we talk mostly about Donnie Darko, because this is the director's follow-up called Southland Tales.
What?
Yeah, and apparently it's fucking crazy. And
why are you like this?
So stay tuned for that trailer.
And cut.
And cut.
I'm going to tell you the story of the journey down the road not taken. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. These are the sordid tales of how it all came crashing down.
This is an epic Los Angeles crime saga.
And you're researching your role?
Yes. It takes place in the near future.
Scientists are saying the future is going to be far more futuristic than they originally predicted.
You're gonna have to wear a bulletproof vest.
Let's talk about your phone. What's it really about?
Yes.
They're listening. They're watching. Take him down.
Here.
Don't look so scared, Mr. Santeros. The future is just like you imagine.
Someone must be hiding it.
It's like the nervous breakdown of the century.
Nothing that a killer, a porn star, and a tattoo parlor can't handle.
It is time for a surgical strike.
I'm a pimp, and pimps don't commit suicide. It all ends tonight.
It had to be this way.
I know.
There'd be a lot less violence in the world if everyone just got a little more cardio.